This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast as we talk about a special and I sound like I'm trying to sell something. I am one of your co-hosts, Andrew Reich. I am joined by Adam Murray. Do you like my pitch voice? Would I be able to sell something to you?
You're trying to sell me on this idea. you are now the Oprah of you get a trophy. Let's just give out more awards and...
Are you into NFTs? Are you into crypto or NFTs?
Negative.
Neither. No, you don't see value in it. You don't see future value.
NFTs are just, I can download I have the picture on my phone. What is it?
Mm-hmm.
It does.
I guess the idea with the NBA is that you own the clip. Is the idea like you own the imprint of the clip. So like, for example, so whatever on the internet, if there's like when Ja Morant dunked on the Spurs, like you own that clip on Top Shot. Like that's the idea, almost like a trading card.
Yes, idea. But I could still watch the clip on YouTube.
That is correct. I could go to House of Highlights and I could watch it a million times.
That's the thing, is what is the point of you owning it? Like the physical thing, it's like, yeah, I have, you know, this it's not in my room now, but you know, I have my autographed Larry Bird jersey right next to my Saints Super Bowl autographed helmet.
You have an autographed Larry Bird jersey?
Basketball, not jersey. I got an autographed Larry Bird ball.
Oh, I don't have any of those. I think I got something that was signed by Drew Brees. I can't remember though. I have to see. But
yeah,
you got
a Final Four court.
Yeah, you sent it to me, which was very nice.
Don't you have a Willie Rofe?
Yeah, you gave me a Willie Rofe jersey. You did.
Wow, you got signed stuff too. How quick you are to dismiss this all.
I was never into memorabilia. I was not a person who was like, oh my God, look at his signature. I'll never watch this again. Like that. It just wasn't something that, like, as a kid, I was like obsessed with. Like, I didn't go to conventions. I didn't go to signings. Like, it just wasn't – it wasn't something that I really cared for. But, you know, if you want to own something, that's cool. Do you want to talk about what we really are here to talk about?
Go ahead. Introduce your topic.
Oh, it's my job now since it was my idea. I see how it goes. So here's what we're going to do this time. We like to do a lot of our little specials where it's evergreen and we can always just pop them out of nowhere. This is going to be one of those. We did a few already that you probably listened to. And if you want to, you can go back to the archives and hit up with a couple. I love the one where we did the one about the colleges, the best players from the schools. It was a little hard to do, but it was fun. So it got me going and I thought, okay, what if we went back and we had to do an awarding of a player for past years for something that didn't exist at the time. So what I came up with is, who had the best second years in the NBA, which is kind of interesting. It's some people would say, well, why would you need a sophomore of the year award when you have most improved player? Well, most improved player doesn't always go by just the second year. Somebody can be in their fourth or fifth year and win MIP, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to follow up with something really informative and nice.
No, I have. That was the most rambling explanation of just, hey, you know, rookie of the year? We figure we do the sophomore of the year.
Yeah, the second year player. Yeah.
Simple.
Look, all right. I like to dance around. I like to dance around. So, yeah, so what we're going to do is we're going to go from the 2010-11 season. And we're just basically going to talk about who was the sophomore of the year, who had the best second year. We all know who won rookie of the year. We just want to know who had the best follow-up. And not always the results were matched up with who was the rookie of the year. Some much, much more different. So I ran kind of a litmus test before those years just to see how it came up. And I was looking at, like, for example, 1997. That was the one with Iverson and Kobe Bryant. The second year, I think Iverson would have wanted it again. Tim Duncan, easy. Vince Carter, easy. There was somewhere it just came up the same. Let me ask you this. Before we get into the years that we're actually going to discuss, do you think that there is going to be a lot of variety in these?
Well, yeah, because you can only have one sophomore year.
No. I mean, versus, you know what I mean? Versus the rookie of the year before. Do you think there's going to be some differences?
So who's going to repeat? Of course, I think there's going to be a difference because, as we all know, Michael Carter Williams was the rookie of the year. And mm-hmm. So we already know he's not going to follow up.
I don't know, man. We didn't talk about his second year yet. When we get to 2015, we can have this conversation, or 2014, whatever it was. But yeah, let's just go ahead and get to it. So 2011, let me just try to be clear. When I talk about the rookie of the year rankings, it was the rookie of the year from the previous year, because obviously they're in their second years for the seasons we're talking about. Tyreek Evans won rookie of the year in 2010. For 2011, would you say Tyreek Evans would have won the sophomore of the year?
No.
Who do you have?
That year, which is funny, you picked a random weird year. You kind of just started the year before with Derrick Rose.
Let me tell you why. Because if you look at the previous, like, the one with in 2008 with Brandon Roy and LaMarcus Aldridge, who were teammates, that was kind of interesting. I think Roy would have gotten it anyway the second time in a row. Durant in 2009 and Derrick Rose in 2010 were all stars. Like, come on.
Yeah, we couldn't have started it with an easy one.
Start with an easy one. We have to start with a really tough, ambiguous one, like Steph Curry with injury issues, but still somehow scoring 18 points a game.
But he wasn't the player he was, you know, now.
No, but that's how great he is. He was good enough to probably be the sophomore of the year in 2011. I mean,
DeRozan had very similar numbers to him.
Toronto was terrible. That was the first.
So was Golden State.
Golden State was bad too. True.
Tyreek Evans also had similar numbers.
Mm-hmm. Drew Holiday. Yeah, they made the playoffs. 6 assists a game. Wow. That was his second year, Drew Holiday.
Wow. Yeah. And then, you know, Brandon Jennings was also, you know, had 16 points a game too. So it was just like one of those, like, you know, you could say Curry because knowing what he became after years, but mm-hmm. DeRozan, you could make an argument. Curry, again, yeah, you know, you want Jennings, yeah, you want Evans. It's sort of like there's no clear cut number one seed. It's just sort of, here's just sort of a group award.
Not Johnny Flynn.
Oh, poor Johnny Flynn.
And I know we're not talking about a future Hall of Famer who was in this crop, James Harden. 12 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. No. I mean, he really burst out his third year, which was 2012. Let's just move on to that year. Blake Griffin, this is unique because he missed his first year with a broken kneecap. So this was actually his third year, but it was his second year as a player. He was the rookie of the year in 2011. I think in 2012, his competition was Paul George, John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Greg Monroe, and then Jeremy Lin had that really awesome stretch with the Knicks. I think it probably would have been Blake Griffin again.
I thought it would be Blake Griffin easy because I don't. You're trying to drum up drama. Mm-hmm. Paul George, who averaged 12 points.
Blake Griffin. He was also the MIP though.
Yeah. Because Indiana got way better with him, but Blake Griffin.
He also had a 2-inch growth spurt.
All you need to say is second year, Blake Griffin, All Star, 20-10. That means there's not really no competition if you're second year, you're making the All Star team and you're averaging 20-10. And well, but you know, Greg Monroe had 15. Jeremy Lin had 3 good weeks.
You're making it sound like I'm Wilford Brimley or something. Wall, 8 assists a game. Could you see it early on? He was a number one pick, of course, but could you see it early on of like, oh, he's going to be good?
We always knew he was going to be good. Nobody said he wasn't.
Well, he had a little bit of a stretch early on where you weren't sure if he was going to put it all together. Like, he kind of started putting it all together in 2014, but we're not in 2014. Like, that came a little bit later. Kyrie Irving won Rookie of the Year in 2012. The second year, Kyrie again, and it's not even close.
Oh, but I don't know. Kenneth Fareed also played, and he had one game with 25 rebounds.
Hey, man, Chandler Parsons had a very nice, like, second year with the Rockets. Like, you forget how good he was before he had the knee problems.
Yeah, he was good, but Kyrie Irving, 22.5 points, all-star. Nobody else made the all-star. That should just be the only de facto judgment. Did this player make the all-star team in his second year? If the answer is yes, give him the award.
Klay Thompson did start to come around. Like, he was, like, he averaged 16 points a game. He was making his threes. That's when the Splash Brothers really started to get going in Golden State. I remember they beat the Nuggets in the first round of the playoffs. Kawhi Leonard was pivotal for the Spurs, but at this point he was just a role player. You know, a really good one, but he wasn't the Claw yet. He didn't become what he became later. You know,
the question is, whatever happened to Kenneth Fareed? He just disappeared.
Well, I think he was with Brooklyn somehow, and he got cut, and he just never found his footing again.
He just disappeared. He was that, you know, that bench energy hustle guy. Yeah, he was overpaid grossly, but you're saying he couldn't have played 15 minutes and just been that energy guy?
I remember. Do you remember when Masai Ujiri signed Nene and then immediately flipped him? The reason why he did that is because he had Kenneth Fareed and he knew he could plug in his spot as the energy big man. So, and he was great. I remember, do you remember that FIBA World Championship team that the U.S. had? I think it's sneaky, like either the second best or the third best U.S. team they ever had. They had Curry, Anthony Davis, freaking Kyrie Irving. Harden was on that one. It was one of the only ones Harden was on. Kenneth Fareed was on that team, and he was a monster. Like, and he was really, really good when he was going, you know. But you're right, he kind of, like, tapered off. Kemba Walker got going a little bit too. Let's just go to 2014. This one's kind of interesting. Damian Lillard won Rookie of the Year. Anthony Davis did have a good rookie year also. He was the runner-up. Bradley Beal, Andre Drummond. It was pretty much the same, the usual suspects for 2014. I know Damian Lillard was an all-star and made the playoffs, but Anthony Davis averaged 21 points, 10 rebounds, and 3 blocks a game.
Yeah, that it's sort of, you know, Anthony Davis, you know, for being in the league only 10 years and making the NBA top 75, it's hard to be like, oh, yeah, he was the, you know, he was the original. Everybody was tanking for him.
Yeah,
and then
Lillard made the top 75, too. He also had that big game winner to close out the Rockets where he hit that three over Chandler Parsons.
I meant Anthony Davis was, from the get-go, like, you know, a superstar. Lillard took a couple years to become, you know, Dame, you know, in the big 50-point game and the half-court shots.
Davis was with him, too, and he was a pivotal part of that. Beal, I remember this. Like, he averaged 17 points a game. That's terrific. But I remember in the playoffs with John Wall, he started to come around. That's when I started to notice Bradley Beal as, like, a future star. Drummond, I mean, do you think he's underrated or overrated as a rebounder?
No, he's properly rated.
I mean, 13 rebounds a game in his second year is ridiculous.
He was very good. However, the league changed so fast around him.
Kind of like Roy Hibbert.
Roy Hibbert and Greg Monroe. Like, those players just went from, like, oh, yeah, we're, you know, golden gods. We can make hundreds of millions just for being 7 feet tall to, oh, wait, what? We're out of the league already?
Yeah. Also, the Pistons were terrible, too. I know that the Pelicans didn't make the playoffs that year. And Portland, obviously, they went to the second round. But I don't know, man. It's just hard to go away from Davis's numbers on that one. Let's go to the next one. You already mentioned Michael Carter-Williams. Yes, he won the Rookie of the Year in 2013 with the Sixers. It was considered one of the weaker ones at that point, which is amazing because let me talk about two players who were in that rookie class. Giannis Antetokounmpo and Rudy Gobert are in that class. Here's the even more amazing part, Adam. I don't think Giannis or Rudy would have even won the 2015 Sophomore of the Year award.
No, they didn't come on till much, much later. Giannis
Gobert averaged 8 points, 9.5 rebounds. 9.5 rebounds is awesome. And 2.3 blocks, averaged 26 minutes a game. Antetokounmpo averaged 31 minutes, 13 points, 6.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, a steal and a block. I remember there was a stretch where, because Jason Kidd took over as the coach there, he was basically throwing him around as like a guard so he could get triple doubles.
Yeah, he made him a point forward and was just like, that's a bad idea. Mm-hmm. But that was like, Giannis was, we know he's not good yet. We know he's going to be. So we have to let him go out there and get better and just sort of, you know, Gobert was just sort of, well, you have to keep building because he's, you know, big men take longer to develop unless you're super powerful like Anthony Davis. It was, he needs to sort of grow into his role. But Giannis was like, this kid is super athletic. We just need to wait for him to piece it together.
What year did you see it come around for Gobert and Giannis? And was it around the same time?
Was it year four, I believe?
16? You would say 2016? Kind of like around that time frame, right? Right, kind of around that time frame when Durant joined the Warriors and Rudy was sort of became like a fixture at center for the Utah Jazz. With Giannis, it's hard to say because they were good or they were playoff teams, but they were not teams that like went far. So you didn't know how seriously you could take the Bucks. You had to take the Bucks seriously when they hired Budenholzer because they built a whole system around Giannis and then his numbers exploded, you know.
Yep.
But so anyways, MCW, Michael Carter Williams, rookie of the year, was traded in the second year. He was traded to the Bucks. 14 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, almost 2 steals. That's not bad. But I think we're in agreement. I think the runner-up of the rookie of the year the previous year probably would have won this one if it had happened. That was Victor Oladipo with the Magic.
Well, with Carter Williams was, don't forget, they were in tank mode the full season. So they just said, go run out and do whatever you want. We don't care what you do. Score as many points as you want. We don't care. Like, I watched the Celtics do that with Antoine Walker. So he just developed bad habits. And
Antoine Walker was an all-star one of those years.
But, I mean, his rookie year was just, they pushed him out and didn't really, you know, Patino was the coach. So it's just, yeah, I'm not going to try to coach you. Just go sort of do your thing. We don't care. And the same thing with Carter Williams. And you see it now with Jalen Green in Houston last year was go. Your usage rate is terrible, but I don't care. Go play 35 minutes and take 35 shots.
But the key with Jalen Green, though, is that as he got more reps and more chances at it, his efficiency improved over the course of the year. So you saw improvement. With Michael Carter Williams, you didn't see improvement. That was the problem. He kind of peaked his rookie year. With Oladipo, I want to say he peaked right here. Some people would say Indiana, but I felt like he was really good when he was in Orlando. No, I was surprised when they traded him.
Indiana, however, made him like Giannis and like Luka as well. You're going to be the point guard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't even know what Orlando was doing. That was Jacques Vaughn as the coach. I don't even know what they were doing with him. I think they were trying to make him be a two guard, but they had other point guards at the time that I can't remember off the top of my head because they were rebuilding and they were changing him left and right. Let's just move on. So Andrew Wiggins won the rookie. He was the number one pick, and he won the rookie of the year in 2014. Or wait, I'm losing touch. Was it 2014 and 2015 that he won rookie of the year? 15?
Well, what year are you on now? 15, 16?
Well, I am.
Or he's a sophomore.
Okay.
So 14, 15, he would have been a freshman.
I'm bad at math. So
rookie of the year, yes.
I'm mixing him up with his teammate for the next year, which was Towns. But anyways, Wiggins was the rookie of the year the previous year. I would say probably when you look at the next crop, it would have been him and his teammate at the time, Zach LaVine, that would have been the sophomore of the year, like front runners. Would you agree?
Yeah, well, then there was no co-front runners. It was Wiggins all the way again because Wiggins was still, you know, it was one of those, like, we're waiting for him.
I don't know, man. Zach LaVine had some mean-ass dunks in that dunk contest. You got to understand how much that wins people over. Vince Carter would have been the sophomore of the year in 2000 just because of the fucking dunk contest, let alone the fact that he was an all-star and he averaged 24 points a game and other stuff. I mean, Zach LaVine averaged 14 points a game, but, you know.
You know, everyone was expecting, like, Wiggins to be like, okay, you're going to be the next, you know, you're the next Jordan, right? You're going to score 35 points a game. You're going to destroy everybody. And it was just like, oh, no, he's good, but he doesn't have that killer instinct in him. So, yeah, he was still scoring 20, but it wasn't the leap everyone had hoped for.
Yeah, I agree. I think we haven't really, like, touched too much on our picks because we're pretty much in consensus across the board so far. Same thing here with Wiggins. Julius Randle, double-double. Double-double his second year with the Lakers. Do you think the Lakers blew it by just not keeping him?
Well, yeah, that always made never made any sense because he was always, like, underappreciated there because he was just came in and did his thing. He didn't try to get super gaudy numbers. He just was good. And that's why everyone was, well, he's in, you know, New York now. He's putting up awesome numbers. Like, no, he's putting up the same numbers he kind of did there. And he always was a good player.
And in my opinion, this was the last good year for Jabari Parker right here.
His second before year. His ACL surgery again.
Yeah. But I mean, 14 points, 5 rebounds. Not bad. I mean, for a number 2 pick, yeah, I would definitely put that under the disappointment category. But, you know, not too bad. But, yeah, it would be Andrew Wiggins, 21 points, 3.5 rebounds, 2 assists. He never really was an assist guy. He was a good defender. His shooting numbers were at that time in Minnesota were good. I mean, did you feel like there was some redemption in how he played in the finals with the Warriors where he was sort of like this really awesome glue guy for them to try to beat the Celtics? Like, do you think that was sort of his redemption?
Because he didn't have to be the guy. It was always
but he gets paid just level of a guy, you know.
It doesn't matter what you're paid. It's just the okay. You could be the third fiddle. You could just be Scottie Pippen. You know, there's no pressure on you. You got Steph is going to take all the criticism, all the everything. Just go do your thing, and you know, with good coaching and a team concept, you know, he was able to thrive.
Yep. All right. Now we're going to get into some. I don't want to call him murderer's row, but we got more of the modern players who are like sort of at the forefront of the league now. Let's start with the 2016-17 crop here. Karl Anthony Towns won the Rookie of the Year. The vote getters behind him were Kristaps Porzingis with the Knicks at the time, Nikola Jokic, and Devin Booker. The next time, pretty much the same. You could also add D'Angelo Russell with the Lakers, Miles Turner with the Pacers. Karl Towns, 25 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists, just over a block, 54% from the field. I mean, I know Devin Booker had that 70-point game against the Celtics. The Suns were god-awful.
But he was just a shooter. Uh-huh. He was just, at that point in his career, a glorified Kyle Korver.
Right. Right. Just he was still there, figuring out what he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, he averaged 22 points a game. Jokic, obviously, later on, 2-time MVP. 17 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. 58% from the field is excellent, but he only averaged 28 minutes a game at the time.
But he was, you know, steady progressing. That's just, you know, it's funny how like, that class was just so... It's a very good class.
The 2015 rookie class is very good. Like, even Kristaps Porzingis now is a wizard. Still good. You know, was he as good as when he was a unicorn? I don't know about that. Like, he was pretty good.
No, because injuries have slowed him down, but...
18.7 rebounds, 2 blocks, almost 2 three-pointers a game with the Knicks that year, his second year there. That's pretty good. Turner is... Here's the funny thing about Miles Turner. I looked at his numbers. I'm like, oh, my God, that's the same numbers he has now. It's like it's the same. 14.7 rebounds and 2 blocks.
Yeah, he sort of just plateaued.
That's why I think nobody wants to trade for him. They're like, why? He's going to be the same player in 2 years, you know. 20 for Booker, and this is the separator. 22 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. The Suns were god awful under Earl Watson. Just like, look, the 70-point game was awesome, but they also got blown out in that game. Towns was ridiculous his second year. You know, I think that's a sweep. Also, let's just go to 2018. This one is there is a story behind this one. So Malcolm Brogdon won the Rookie of the Year in 2017. Joel Embiid was third. People are like, how in God's name did that happen? Joel Embiid only played 40 games. So he was immediately tagged with you can't vote for somebody who played half the game. So they went with Brogdon instead. The runner-up wasn't even Joel Embiid. It was Dario Saric, his teammate with Philadelphia. So that's what that one shocked me even more. But 2018, it's the process all the way. Not even close.
Basically, yeah. There's nobody. You know, Brandon Ingram was the that was the first year.
Yeah.
Because they had just got rid of D'Angelo Russell. So it was sort of they turned the keys over to him, and cousin Jamal was just figuring things out because he's not a true point guard. And
it was I remember this one. That was the year that the Nuggets had that play-in with the Wolves. I remember that because that was they didn't have a play-in. I think that was the reason why the play-in became what it is now, is that they saw the game that they had in 2018 where they had to play an extra game because the Wolves and the Nuggets were in a dead tiebreaker. And I remember thinking, man, these two teams might be the future. And Murray looked good and Jokic looked good. And they wound up ascending after that, even though they lost to the Wolves. And the Wolves kind of like went downwards because of the fact that Butler asked to get out and everything.
That's just the Wolves.
Yeah, that's just a departure from this whole talk. But anyways, Jaylen Brown kind of came around at the end of that year. Like, I could see him kind of coming around.
He was sort of progressing to, you know, what type of player are you? Because his first year, he always, you know, he had just the unlimited minutes. And then sort of what player are you? Are you going to be the Jimmy Butler? Are you going to be the Dwayne Wade? What type of, you know, two guard are you?
It was an interesting year for Boston because they were good, but they also had Kyrie, who had played really well for them. But then he had the kneecap issue, and he missed most of the back half of the season. But they were still
Having Kyrie took away everybody else's numbers. Everyone else got progressively worse as he got as.
But when he went away there, with the injury, they got better. It forced them to get more playing time out of Smart, Tatum, Brown. I'm trying to remember who else they had on that team at the time, because Gordon Hayward broke his leg, obviously, early in the season. And I'm trying to remember who else they had. Horford? Is Horford on the team? I guess not. But anyway,
Is that the end of the Horford? I feel like they had him because...
Yeah, he was there. Yeah, actually, I just thought about it. He was there. Because I remember he totally outplayed Embiid in the playoffs in the second round. But, that the playoff issues for them be, you know, the struggle's real there. But for the regular season, 23 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, 6 free throws. I know he had 2 years of experience before he even played a game because he was actually drafted in 2014. But wow, that's a hell of a sophomore year. he proved what he was. Anyways, so the next one, Ben Simmons was the rookie of the year, and Donovan Mitchell was I don't know how close of a runner-up he was. I wanted to say, Adam, when I looked at the voting totals, Simmons won comfortably. But Mitchell did have a really good rookie year. So you're thinking – and then Jason Tatum. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, what's it going to look like for 2019? Is it just as close? In my opinion, not really. I think I got Ben Simmons doing it again.
I had it look close. This is the one, like, you sort of look at it, it's like, well, Mitchell – didn't know what, you know, he was developing, sort of like we said with Devin Booker, where he's just sort of shooting and not facilitating.
Yeah.
But Ben Simmons just filled out that stat sheet his second year.
Mitchell was in a weird position because, remember, when he got drafted, there was no expectations at the time. You know, they did have Gobert. They did have still Derek Favors at the time. But nobody was going in there thinking, oh, yeah, Mitchell's going to save the team. Like, they had just lost Gordon Hayward to Boston. They just all they had really was that defensive imprint with Gobert. And then Mitchell just sparked their backcourt and gave him all this athleticism because he's a super athletic guard. And it just shocked people. His second year, 24 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, well over 2 threes a game. Like, just really good. But for Ben Simmons, I mean, he was also kind of in a weird situation like Embiid, where he had a broken foot. So this wasn't actually his second year in the league. It was his third, but it was his second year as a player. 17 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. I mean, that's hard to – and he was an all-star. That's really hard to compete with. De'Aaron Fox had a good second year as well. Jason Tatum, not as – here's the funny part. I think Jason Tatum was better as a rookie than he was as a second-year player.
Well, Tatum also was behind Hayward.
Mm-hmm. They had that real log jam with Kyrie and Hayward and Horford and Kyrie and Horford left after that. But yeah, that's true.
Like, well, you had Hayward, you know, once Hayward got there and after he got injured in 6 minutes, you had Brad Stevens who tried to overplay him. Mm-hmm. And try to be like, well, we need to get him the ball. We need to get him into it. And it's just like, well, maybe you shouldn't. And so that's sort of why.
His real Tatum's real breakout was 2020. But that was his third season, so that doesn't count here. 2020, that's the next one. Whew. Okay. So Luka Doncic won Rookie of the Year in 2019. The ones behind him were Trae Young and DeAndre Ayton, who also were picked very high. Here's the crop for 2020. Doncic, Trae Young, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Colin Sexton averaged 20 points a game, DeAndre Ayton averaged 18 and 11. I also didn't mention Duncan Robinson, who was like the league leader in three-point percentage. I know that's not going to get you the sophomore of the year. It's just a really solid crop of players.
Yeah, but when you have Luka
All-NBA, being... first team.
There's no, who cares how good Trae Young was. It's always, it's Luka by a country mile.
So you don't care about the depth of the field. You just see the fact that Luka was so far ahead.
Kind of.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, 29. Are you saying that 29 points, 9 rebounds, and 9 assists is impressive?
Just a tad bit.
He was an all-star. Young was too. SGA, let me tell you, man. There was, because that was the year Chris Paul was there. There were moments I was watching Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as like part of that backcourt with Paul and Schroeder and Lou Dort behind all of them. And he would have some games where I was like, holy crap. Like, I wonder if the Clippers really blew it by trading him away, you know, because that's how they got Paul George.
Yeah. Well, the thing about, you know, with playing with Chris Paul always has made everyone around him better.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of the, you know, it's once, you know, Paul left to Phoenix, it was like, well, Shea's getting his points, but not really doing the things he did before.
Is Luka's second year the best one you've seen among the ones we've discussed? Just for the pure fact he was all NBA first team?
Because he had that leap and he sort of stayed at that leap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his numbers are getting...
Embiid in 18 is pretty close. That was a pretty excellent year for him, too. But, yeah, Doncic is, like, ridiculous. Let's move on. So, everybody knows about the top of the class for the 2019 draft class. That was Zion Williamson and Ja Morant and R.J. Barrett. Zion, as always, didn't play a lot of games. So, the Rookie of the Year was Ja Morant. Actually, the runner-up was Kendrick Nunn. Did you know that one?
Yep.
Which, I don't know if you read this. Like, his knee injury is so chronically bad that he might not play again.
He still isn't back to anything
yet. Like, he can't do activities yet. It's unbelievable. But I will say this, and this might be the most interesting talk among all the years. Zion Williamson had a great second year. 27.7 rebounds. 4 assists, 6 free throws made, 61% from the field. No, they did not make the playoffs, though.
And that was with Stan Van 3000 with his wacky, weird
point Zion crap. Yeah, he was trying to play Zion at the point guard from the elbow.
Yeah, it was just like, what are you doing? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and also,
he was a beast.
I think it's also important to say these were the silly seasons between 2019 and 2021 where points per game were just out of control and everybody was like scoring at will. I'm not trying to make excuses, but I mean, look at these numbers. Like, even Kevin Porter Jr., who got traded to Houston, 16.5 points a game. Tyler Hero was okay. Darius Garland's numbers are okay. 17 points and 6 assists, but he really made his leap the season that we just talked about in 2022. Like, that was the year where he became an all-star. Barrett, what do you think of this one? Like, 17.5 points, 6 assists, or 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 free throws a game, made the playoffs. Like, do you see him as, like, a pillar at this point for the Knicks?
They made him one, but is he really one? No, not really.
Okay, Michael Porter
Jr. Those are solid numbers, but cornerstone numbers, no.
Michael Porter Jr., I still hate that contract, but 19 points and 7 rebounds and 1 block per game is pretty good. Like, also, a really good three-point shooter. That's what I totally forget sometimes when I think of Michael Porter Jr., because I haven't seen him play in a while. But we talk about Zion.
Nobody's seen him play. He's always injured.
He's always a mystery. And then John Morant, 19 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists. They did make the playoffs because they beat Golden State in the play-in. But like, give me your choice. I actually just barely went with Zion. Like, who would you have gone with?
Zion easily.
Easily? You wouldn't say Morant had at least a really good case for that one?
No, because Zion was the, oh yeah, this is why everybody was tanking for him.
Mm-hmm.
He was an absolute beast.
All right. And this one, I think we're going to have a split on this one. So the rookie of the year was LaMelo Ball. He did have an injury with his wrist that took him out for a good portion while Anthony Edwards started to come up in his, like, near the end of his rookie year. But Ball still won rookie of the year. The third vote getter was Tyrese Haliburton, who amazingly got traded. Adam, I still cannot wrap it. I just did this whole list, and the only player who got traded in his second year was Michael Carter Williams. How in the fuck did Tyrese Haliburton get traded? Like, how?
Because it's the Kings, and they don't, you know. But I'll put it, yes, it's the Kings, so you expect dysfunction. But to their credit, they said, who do we want to build around? And they said, we want to build around De'Aaron Fox, who is still a very good player, still has very good numbers.
He was so, on the list we talked about, right, yeah.
We need to get an all-star, so we got to give away our promising young guy to get this all-star player we want.
Yeah, a little bit of depth.
They had they had a vision this time, as opposed to just where we're aimless at sea with just one paddle.
So he had 15 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists, and 1.7 steals a game total, regardless of whether he was with the Kings or with the Pacers. Still excellent. This is actually a fairly deep field, but it's not like names that shout out at you. Cole Anthony with the Magic, Desmond Bane with the Grizzlies, Sadiq Bey with the Detroit Pistons, even Tyrese Maxey averaged 17.5 points a game. I do think, however, it comes down to Edwards and Ball again. I would go with Ball again. He averaged 20 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists.
The same way you could make the argument for the Rookie of the Year. It's like, well, either way, I would go with Edwards because Edwards improved all the way around.
Yeah, 21 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists.
An argument to make. But just going back to your quick Kings talk.
Yeah.
Do you think Haliburton and Fox could have been a backcourt together?
I think if one of them was willing to be a sixth man, yes. But I don't think that was going to happen. That's the problem.
But you couldn't have, like, they had, you know, Haliburton was progressing nicely, yes, but they could not be on the court for 35 minutes with each other.
Yeah, their plus minus was terrible. We had talked about that. Yeah.
So it was one of those, like, you sort of had, it was a complete shock they did it, but... You know, you have De'Aaron Fox, who's happy, strangely happy to be there still wants to be part of the team. So it was one of those, well, you need to make a decision. Just, yeah, sort of shocking it had there. And now, yes, we're going into this current year.
Yeah. So this one, I don't know. Anything could happen. I mean, did you expect Desmond Bane to have a great second year last year? I didn't. I mean, all props to him. But, like, the top vote getters in the most recent Rookie of the Year race, Scottie Barnes, I'm still surprised that he won over Evan Mobley, but Mobley was second and Cade Cunningham was third. Like, do you see anybody that you're thinking of that might pop up that was, you know, that showed some signs as a rookie? Maybe Jalen Green with Houston or Davion Mitchell with the Kings. Like, is there somebody you're thinking of?
Anything is possible, as you mentioned, Desmond Bane. But I think it's down to those three guys. And really, I don't think I would be sort of surprised if Mobley takes a leap.
It feels like he fits just right in that system. You also have Markin and Jared Allen there. So, like, how much more is going to be asked of him is the question.
Where he fits in, and now Cleveland has expectations as opposed to just flying under the radar.
I feel like Cunningham's numbers are going to explode. I feel like they're going to ask more of him.
And then you have Jaden Ivey next to him. mm-hmm. just, you know, playing off of each other, it he should, for the team that still got awful, his numbers should go up, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, and there wasn't that much variety between the picks that we had. I mean, we did disagree on the 2022, like, hypothetical sophomore of the year, but usually it's consensus, and it's not shocking. I mean, if you had a great rookie year to the point that you win rookie of the year, then it's not surprising if you're going to be the best player for the following season. It's just always interesting about who you're drafted the same year as, or what year you start as a rookie, who is a rookie at the same time, and whether or not somebody basically takes the leap at you. I mean, Ben Simmons and Donovan Mitchell, you could have made a case for either of them both years, you know, the rookie year and the second year. You know, it's a fun exercise. It's maybe we should do the third year players next year.
Juniors of the year.
I don't know, man. Derrick Rose won MVP his third year. Remember that? I think he would win that one.
Okay.
But yeah, it's fun.
All right. Well, for Andrew Reach, I am Adam Murray. Yeah, we'll be back. This is the end of our little summertime fun. We're gonna be back with previews.
Yeah.
So
let's do this episode again and see if it's better than the first one.
So we'll do it the same time next year to see
the sophomore episode of the year. Yes.
Okay, we're just gonna recue the same one. All right. Have a good one.